And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Saturday Night Wine Stream and another exciting episode of Drink with Rick. I'm Rick, and tonight we're going to open a wine I did do a slight tasting of some time back. It was quite a while ago, and I have never really tried the wine, a full glass of it. I just had a slight tasting of it once, and since then I've acquired a couple of bottles of it. So we're going to open one of them tonight, and I'm really excited about this because it's supposed to be a pretty good wine. This is an Overbrook Cab. So we'll do that, and I'll be pairing it with some different foods, and we'll be talking about a lot of different things. We'll be toasting birthdays and anniversaries, of course, and a special anniversary in particular for today. We'll have a lot of fun, so stick around. I see Rob has joined us in the chat. It's great to see you, Rob. Thanks for joining me tonight, and stick around and tell me what you're drinking or not drinking, or would you like to be drinking, or would you like to see me drinking? That's fine. And Phil has joined us in the chat also. Phil, I'm happy to see you in the chat. I'm always happy to see you, my good friend Phil, and please stick around and join in. And my son Tommy's in the chat. Hi, Tommy. It's good to see you, and I'm glad you're here. Stick around as well. And I hope you enjoy the show. I'm sure you'll have a few laughs. Anyway, for those of you just joining me tonight, you can catch me here on Facebook. We're on Facebook, of course, and of the Facebook page, Drink with Rick. You can also catch me on Twitter. I think we're live on Periscope, so it's getting streamed live on Twitter. And also Twitch, twitch.tv. If you happen to be on Twitch, you can catch me there. And you can join in the chat on Twitch also. I'll be checking that as well. You can, of course, watch us at drinkwithrick.com. Just go to drinkwithrick.com and you can watch the stream live there. Now, unfortunately, I don't have a chat set up per se, but we do have comments and you can leave comments. Just leave comments in the field below the video at drinkwithrick.com. Normally, we're also on YouTube, but for some reason, and I'm going to check real quick just in case it has popped up. For some reason, I can't seem to be able to get into YouTube to start streaming tonight. So I don't know what's going on with YouTube. I can actually access my channel. You can see the channel at Drink with Rick on YouTube, and you can see all the past videos and the past live streams that we've done. But unfortunately, for some reason, I am unable to get in to do the live stream. It's hung up somewhere, so I don't know what's happening there. So looks like YouTube is out. I will check in on that from time to time and see if that situation has improved. But at the moment, doesn't look like we're able to stream at all on YouTube. But we are live everywhere else. And, of course, I have this recorded so you can watch it later at your leisure. And any time at drinkwithrick.com. And, of course, if you want to contact me, you can contact me in the address below, rick@savoyamedia.com. I'm always happy to hear from you. Well, tonight, as I mentioned earlier, we are going to be opening a wine. I'm going to give you a shot of this wine here. Whoops, that was a little premature. Wrong button. Okay, let me find the – there it is, right button. This is an Overbrook. It's a 2018 Cabernet Sauvignon. I purchased this from Wine Store in Blakeney, North Carolina, where I often go to purchase a lot of my wines. And this seems to be one that's particular to them because I haven't seen it around anywhere else but at Wine Store. But we're going to taste the wine tonight. We're going to take a look at it. Let's learn a little bit more about this wine. On the back end, I'm going to turn over to the back a little bit, and let's see what we got here. I'm going to read the back of it for you. It says, cellared and bottled by Pavilion Winery, Napa, California, 2018. This is a Napa wine. Alcohol 13.5% by volume in the 750 milliliter bottle. It is a 2018. I don't have much information on it other than that. Although I did check the website at Wine Store, and this is a this is selling for $9.95 at Wine Store, or $9.99, excuse me, at winestore-online.com. I checked around the internet. There's not a whole lot of information on this Cabernet, but I did find, let's see, at where was it? At Cellar Tracker, they have it listed for $10.56 a bottle. That's 2018 Overbrook. And also on Vivino. Vivino has the wine listed, but they don't sell it. And they say that it averages about $9.99, so that's about what I paid for it. And checking my receipt from Wine Store, and this is not the one. There's another one here. I accidentally dropped my receipts the other day, and they're all mixed up here. I believe this is $9.99 is what I paid for it. Although, however, Matt and the good folks at Wine Store did actually give me a free bottle of this Overbrook. Now, they gave me a bottle to taste test. I'd already purchased a bottle, but I went to get another one. And they gave me this one specifically to open and taste tonight. Now, for full disclosure, I don't work for Wine Store. They just gave me this bottle to open and taste and review. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give it a fair review for this bottle of wine. And of course, in the past, I have asked anyone who wants to send me a bottle of wine to review. I'll be happy to receive it and review it, but it would be a fair review. No bias here. Okay, so we're going to open it up without any bias. Just so you know, I'm not being paid per se. I mean, they gave me the free bottle, but it is in exchange for an honest review. So that's what we're going to do tonight, is give it an honest review. So I paid $9.99 for the first bottle. This bottle, I believe they gave it to me to open and taste. Just to be clear about that, okay? Anyway, so we're going to open this wine, and to do that, and before I check that, let me check and see if anything. Nope, nothing's cleared up on YouTube. Apparently, that YouTube's a lost cause tonight. Sorry, folks, if you're watching on YouTube. And Twitch, let's see, Twitch. I think we have someone watching at Twitch. Maybe there. I can't tell from Periscope. So we're going to stick with the chat here on Facebook. Now, I don't need my – normally, I have got my foil cutter here, but I'm not going to need it tonight. I am going to use my trusty – I'm going to need my trusty bottle opener that my lovely wife, Chi, purchased for me at an estate sale, which actually I did some research and originally came from Aldi in England. And so, or in the UK, and I don't know how much it costs exactly, but it was my wife got it for $5. So we will see how this works on this bottle. Let me get a closer shot of this. Here we go, and we'll. Now I am opening this at a little bit of an angle because I'm sitting. So it's a little more awkward, but it's really nice. I like this. I'll remove the cork later. And we have the bottle open. And one thing I am going to do tonight is I'm going to, and I have this, I froze it pretty good. Normally I have my Veneto, my Veneto aerator from the Veneto Wine Lover set, but tonight, and this is also part of the Veneto Wine Lover set, I froze this, had this in the freezer all week. I'm going to chill it with this chiller, this wine chiller. Now, before I do that, because we have to take care of displacement, as we learned the hard way last time, we're going to have to displace some of this wine. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and pour it into my Cooper's Hawk genuine crystal wine glass from the Cooper's Hawk Winery and Restaurant in Orlando, Florida. We're going to go ahead and pour this wine, and we'll let this air out on its own naturally. And hopefully I poured enough of it out of the glass so I can put this in. If not, we'll have to take a little bit more out of there. There we go. And we did. Got enough of it in there. All right. It's in there nice and firm. We're going to let that chill a little bit. And while we're waiting for it to chill, and we're letting this wine air out a little bit, I'm going to show you what I have to pair it with tonight. Tonight I have an eclectic mix of foods. Cabs go with a few things. They go with some spicier foods. Grilled meats, usually. You really want to have this with a good steak, you know, a good steak or a good grilled burger, something like that. Those good fine. It goes fine with that. But I didn't have any of those tonight. So what I do have is I do have some spicy turkey pepperoni, which it should be okay with. It's not too spicy, but it should be whole smoky. Should go fine with that. I also have a couple of chicken wings. I have a spicy chicken wing here, which might be too spicy for this wine. Then I have another chicken wing here that has Parmesan cheese on it. So it's a Parmesan cheese, Parmesan chicken, which might be all right with that because of the Parmesan. And then I have some spaghetti with meat sauce. And this is with a meat sauce, not just a plain sauce. It's going to have a meat tomato sauce. And I'll explain why I have that one in a few minutes. And, of course, some crackers and some mozzarella cheese, some sharp cheddar cheese, which should be okay with this, and a couple of cookies. Cookies, you know, desserts kind of go pretty well with wines, red wines in general. They do in their own way. Well, anyway, so we're going to go ahead and try this wine. Anyone else joining us in the chat? I think we've got Rob, Phil, Tommy. Anyone else who wants to join us, just join right in. And once again, unfortunately, we can't get on YouTube. So, well, I think there's some folks there. We usually have a couple of people watching on YouTube that are not going to be able to get in there tonight. I apologize for that. I don't know what's going on with YouTube tonight, to be honest. I really don't. But we have Twitch there, so if you're on Twitch, you can join me there. And you can catch me on Twitter. I've got Twitter open, and you can send me some notifications on Twitter, which actually I'll check right now, see what we have going on Twitter. I'll keep up with that. Let's see. Let's get on with the tasting part of this. And once again, according to Wine Store, it's supposed to pair pretty well with grilled meats, and they said making up. Okay, well, we're looking at food right now, so and I'll remember that next time I need to make up with my wife. And but she doesn't drink a whole lot of wine, so I don't know if that's going to be very helpful. Anyway, we'll give this a taste. A whiff first. Very berry, of course. Not surprising. It's a cab. Strong berry notes to it, smells to it. Very cabby. Okay. Now, normally a Cabernet is a little bit on the jammy side. This is not that I can taste anywhere anyway. It's bold, not too bold. It's actually not as bold as some cabs that I'm used to. And I love cabs. Fruity. I can taste the black cherry and the and a little bit of plum, hint of plum in it. Yeah, actually, there's a fair amount of plum in it, I think. Yeah, kind of plummy, but it has a nice bouquet to it on the nose and it's on the taste. It's yeah, there's a fair amount of black cherry and plum. And it's rather tannic. It's spicy. It's a little spicy, tannic. Let's try it with a little now that it's a a little bit cooler. See if it's a little bit different chilled. Yeah, still very plummy. And it has a nice finish to it. It's kind of is kind of a smooth finish. Not bad. Not a bad cab, but I do want to try it with some foods because, I, to be honest, I don't know if I can drink this by itself very much. And I love cabs, by the way, but I don't know if I can have a whole lot of this by itself without some food with it. So we're going to pair it with some food in just a moment. Let me clean this up a little bit. Got a little bit of wine on the table there. Yeah. We'll get on the spicy side. So let's try it with some food. Before I do that, let me check the chat again, see what's going on. Nothing much. By the way, my wife, Chi, and my daughter, Tia, it's kind of quiet here tonight. My wife, Chi, and my daughter, Tia, are in Orlando this weekend. They're visiting my sister-in-law and her family and my relatives there. And Chi, if you are were watching, if you are Tia watching, anyone else watching, want to say hi to everyone. Hi to Benny and everyone watching there. I don't know who all is watching. Tess might be there. I understand Tess was going to join her there. So if you're watching, hi. Good to see you. And here's to you. And they're going to be down there for a couple of days. And I think they're due back sometime Monday. Right now, it's just Tommy and me holding down the fort here. And Cosmo, of course, our dog. Okay, let's pair it with some food. Let me give a wider shot of this. And we're going to try it first with... turkey pepperoni. Let's go down the line. This should go okay... Because this will go good. I think this will be okay with sausages. Like a summer sausage. Very interesting. It's an interesting mix. I need more of this wine, actually. All right. Let's try one more of those because... Okay. It's not fantastic. Okay. That pairing was not great, but it was passable. I would like to try it with the cheese because it's hard to not pair this wine with a good cheese. Oh, good. I like that. This is a cheddar. This is the sharp cheddar, or a medium sharp cheddar, by the way. Let's try it with the mozzarella. The mozzarella is a lot lighter cheese. I don't know how it's going to go well with that. We'll try it. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, you know, this cab is, I think this cab is just a little bit young. I like it, but I think it's this bottle is maybe just a little on the young side. Not bad, but just a little young. Let's try it with the Parmesan chicken. That is kind of spicy. Okay, that's very interesting. I could eat the Parmesan chicken with this. The chicken's good, by the way. It came from a local chicken place up here that we frequent in Charlotte. Okay, not bad. Not bad. It's pretty decent. Let me clear the palate a little bit. Okay, yeah, we're live on this. If I spill something, I spill something. All right, well, let's try it with a little bit of the spaghetti. Now, the thing is about spaghetti, about pastas and cabs, there are some red wines that go pretty well with pastas, and something like the Pinot Noir that we tried last week. There's some that'll go pretty well with pastas. Of course, Chiantis, and some Italian red wine, other Italian red wines like, let's see if I get this on the fork. It's the little tiny fork. But the thing is, though, that with a cab and a Merlot, it'll go pretty good with a Merlot. The thing is with the cabs is that it can depend on the cab a little bit. And in general, and there are two schools of thought on this. Is like some sommeliers, wine pairers, they generally say don't really pair the tomato sauces and the red sauces with the spaghettis and with the cabs per se because it's a little bit too cabs a little bit too spicy for that. And then others will say, oh, it's great with a tomato sauce or a meat sauce. Well, what I have here is a meat sauce because that's supposed to balance that out a little bit, and so we'll see. Mm. I'm going to try this. It's okay. I like it. I like it. I'll have to try a little bit more of this. Hey, if anyone watching this has not had dinner yet, my apologies. Frankly, I haven't had dinner yet either. So it's hard to do this with a little fork. Let me just try some of the. Okay, I think I like it with this. This is okay. It does make it spicier. It really does. And if you don't like, I mean, personally, I think I would still pair a Chianti or something with this spaghetti. But this cab's okay. It's not bad. I will say that this is not a typical cab. It's not a typical cab that I'm used to drinking. It's a little bit different in... I think it's okay. It's good. This is not the best cab I've ever had. It's not the worst. It's okay. It's okay. The fruits are good. I'm pretty sure it'll grow on me as I get down in the bottle. It's a decent cab. It's decent. It's good. I would say it's probably a $9 cab, $10 cab. I wouldn't pay more than that for this Cabernet. I wouldn't pay more than that, but this is probably okay a price for this cab. Let's go to, if no objections, let's go on and toast some birthdays and anniversaries and national days and all that fun stuff. This is where the fun begins. We're getting used to almost poured it from the wrong side. There we go. All right, so I'm trying to go easy on the wine here. I don't want to overdo it tonight. Let's go ahead and go with the birthdays. First of all, with the birthdays, I would like to toast my good friend Steve Rowell. Steve, whose birthday was actually December 5th. That was a couple of days ago. And Phil, you know Steve. And I'm not sure how old Steve is here, but I want to say happy birthday to you, Steve. That's for you, that happy birthday. And Steve and I go way, way back to WFL. Steve was in the engineering department. He was an assistant chief engineer there at WFL, Channel 35, back in the day. Really nice guy. And a nice family, and we go way, way, way back. So once again, here's to you, Steve. Happy birthday. And who else do we have here? Well, there is a special birthday that I would like to toast. And I don't want to put too much of a damper on this wine stream, but this is one reason why, you know, at the end of my wine stream, how I always talk about no drinking and driving, no texting and driving, especially drinking and driving. My nephew Lester, who would have been, his birthday was December 6th. That was yesterday. And he is no longer with us, unfortunately, because he was killed on the road by a drunk driver. And my nephew Lester, he was a great guy, really, really great guy, family man, very devoted person, very devoted to his family and his friends. I tell you about Lester. I was quite fond of Lester, and we all loved him. He was a great guy, and he, you know, to be honest, I'm not sure how old he would have been at this point, because I really wasn't. I really wasn't thinking about that, his age. I was thinking more about his life and how he lived his life, and how he loved his family and friends. And Lester was the type of guy that would do anything for you. He would do anything for you. You needed something, he was right there. And he was always with me. He was always, Uncle Rick, what can I do here? What can I do that? Let me help you this. Let me do it. He was the kind of guy that you just give you a big bear hug, and you know, and you just knew that it was genuine. It was genuine, and everything about him was genuine. And I miss him. I miss him very much. My wife Chi and my daughter Tia are down there visiting with our family down there, our Filipino family down there. And I'm sure that they're probably toasting him too, as well. And once again, this is for you, Lester. I miss you, and we all love you. Lester left behind a wife and two children, two very small children, and. He was taken away from us way, way too soon. Anyway, I didn't want to put too much of a damper on this, but I think it was important to remember Lester on this day, being so close to his birthday, and I want to say it's always been an honor. It was always an honor to be called Uncle Rick by Lester. An honor indeed. Let's see, other birthdays here. Someone else that I want to toast on his birthday. Someone else who I have not talked to in quite a while. I haven't seen in quite a while, but it was always close to me when I was younger. My cousin Richard. My cousin Richard Hansen. Richard, whose birthday is actually coming up on December 11th. And I don't know if you're watching, Richard, if you're watching now or later, I want to say happy birthday to you. Richard is turning 60 as well. He's 61. I'm sorry. Richard's turning 61 this coming week. He is a couple months older than I am. We're very, very close in age. And we were, when we were younger, when we were kids, we were pretty close as cousins as well. And we moved back to Orlando from North Carolina, from Salisbury, back in the 70s, very early 70s, 71, I believe. They were very, very helpful in getting us settled and helping us find a house and getting us settled in and everything. And He and I had a lot of fun together. He was just a great guy. He was somebody who very much wore his heart on his sleeve, so to speak. And I always appreciated that about him. But here's to my cousin Richard. And when I say wore his heart on his sleeve, I don't mean that in the bad way at all. It's a compliment to him, because I myself was very much that way. My wife calls me a sappy guy. In a lot of ways, I am. Richard and I were very much alike in a lot of ways. Very sensitive people, and sensitive to a lot of things. And Richard, I remember when my cousin Marjorie passed away. She had diabetes from childhood, and when she passed away, that really, really affected him very deeply, as it did all of us. But it affected him very deeply because they were very close. And I just remember Richard being a very nice guy, very super guy. I haven't talked to him quite a while, but Richard, wherever you are, we got to connect again one of these days. But once again, here's to you. Have a very happy birthday. I'm thinking about you, buddy. I'm thinking about you. And Gordon's joined us in the chat. Gordon is, I'm really happy to see you in the chat. Look, Gordon is, he's been doing his, he just wrapped up his 30-day gratitude challenge, his gratitude thing. And he, every day he would post a video talking about what he's grateful for. I think that's a phenomenal thing. And I think everybody should do that. I should do something like that. But the thing is, I'm grateful for everything I have every day. I don't always say it. I don't always show it, but especially my wife, I'm very, very grateful for her. But Gordon, I think what you did was phenomenal, and here's to you also. You know, there are a lot of you look at all the evil and all the trouble in the world, and you think to yourself, the world is just coming apart sometimes, and so many troubles, things like that. But when you look individually, there are still people in the world. You can't give up on things, on humanity, because there's still people in the world who are good people, and those are the people that you want to be friends with. Those are the people that you want to connect with and be part of and hold on to. And when you have good friends, that's very, very important, to take care of your friends, take care of your families, take care of those good people. You know, that they're very, very important. I've got and I'm leading up to something else here in just a moment, but we'll get to that. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Before we do that, I also want to say happy birthday to my friend Brian Farmer. He and I go way back to the OnForce days. We were both OnForce service providers back in the day, he also helped me out on the force field, on the website, on our force field forums. He was also a moderator in the force field forums for a while. He helped me out quite a bit there. But so, Brian, here's to you. I know he left IT some time ago and went into another industry, but I believe he's doing very well in that, from what I've heard. He's doing very well. Anyway, once again, happy birthday, Brian. Looks like Brian and I are the same age here. And also, I want to say happy birthday to Frank Dillon. Frank is, his birthday is coming up. Now, actually, Brian and Frank have their birthdays on the same day. They're doing it December 10th, I believe. Anyway, here's to you, Frank. Happy birthday. I got to go easy on my toast here because I don't want to go. And I'm not too far into the bottle, by the way, actually. I'm not that far into the bottle. You know, I do have to apologize. Before we get on to the anniversaries and national days, I do have to apologize to you because a couple of weeks ago, I think I had a cheesecake that I was going to try that I think it was the Pinot with. And I got to talking as I often do because this is a stream of consciousness show, and I completely forgot to try the cheesecake with the wine. I said I was going to do that. Unfortunately, I don't have the cheesecake anymore, but I'm sure my lovely wife Chi will at one point make another one for me, and then I can get another bottle of maybe that wine and try it just for that. We'll see. Let's see, where we are we now? Oh, yes, anniversaries. Well, there is an obvious anniversary. This comes in national days, too. There's an obvious anniversary that I want to toast before we go any farther. And I would like to give a toast to our servicemen and women who sacrificed themselves on this day in 1941, and I'm talking, of course, about National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. Today, December 7th, is National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. This December 7th, 1941, very, very early in the morning, we were attacked. Pearl Harbor was attacked. We lost a lot of good people there, and it did usher us into World War II. And this is a day that nobody should ever forget. Now, I was not around. I was not alive on that day. I think most of our veterans who served in World War II are now gone. I think there's just a few of them left. A few of them that are still alive today that fought in the war. You know, it was well over 70 years ago. 78 years ago, I think, is when the war, Pearl Harbor was attacked. And, of course, with each passing year, there were going to be fewer and fewer of those veterans with us. I am a baby boomer. After the war, those people from after the war and from 19 until 19 early 1960s are boomers. I'm an okay boomer. I'm a baby boomer person. I was born after the war. Well, after the war, but the war ended in 1945. I was born 15 years after World War II ended, but still considered a boomer. But I do remember the stories, and you know, my grandfather was alive during that time. My dad was a child at the time. My mom as well. They were both children at the time that the. That World War II was commencing, and they could remember World War II and the events there and what we all had to go through in the war. So I'm not too far removed from that. But as the generations go on, we see more and more, you know, each succeeding generation, the war has become more of a faded memory. And or a faded legend, I guess you could say, for lack of any other term. You know, things have changed quite a bit since then. So my kids really, I don't know how much they know of the war. Now, I have tried to educate them somewhat. Like, for instance, we sat down and watched Tora, Tora, Tora one night, which is a pretty accurate representation of what happened the events leading up to and during and after Pearl Harbor. And if you've never seen the movie, and I think most of us around my age, I'm sure have, but if you've never seen the movie, Tora, 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 I highly, highly recommend that you watch it, sit down and watch it, especially if you are younger, a millennial or younger. Okay, Boomer. I highly recommend that you sit down and watch that movie. It's a long movie. It's over 3 hours, 3.5 hours. I edited that movie when I worked at Channel 35. I've got a story about that. I don't know if I have time for that tonight, but I've got a story about that. I edited that movie for television when we aired it 1 year at Channel 35. That was a very interesting story. I edited it and re-edited it several times. I've seen that movie numerous times. It is a classic, but it's very, very thought provoking, and I think it's a good look at history, something that we should never ever forget. But look, before I forget, I want to toast this day, which is National Pearl Harbor Day, Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. And I'm going to toast it twice because, you know what? This is the very, very least I can do to honor. The very least I can do to honor. I'm looking at them toasting. I'm drinking wine and toasting in the comfort of my studio. And if it wasn't for what these brave men and women, these brave people did. These brave men and women, all these brave people did in World War II to the Allies to help, to respond and then bring this war to an end, which could have dragged on and on for a number of years, if it wasn't for the end result, which was basically dropping the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which were terrible things. Don't get me wrong. It was terrible that sort of thing happened. But if it hadn't been for that, the war would have dragged on for a lot longer. In any case, look, war is a terrible thing. War is a horrible thing. But if the fact that it happened and that. There were men and women at the time who rose up to the call of duty and who rose up and served and helped protect us and our freedoms. I think that they deserve the very least. Look at it. We wouldn't have any of this now if who knows if the war had gone another way. If the war had gone the other way, who knows what the outcome would have been. So for those who are thinking, and where I'm going with this is that for those who were not around and who don't remember the war and who are not thinking much about this time, everything that you have today, I mean, you have this comfort that you have because there were people that were willing to make the ultimate sacrifice to preserve that for you, and that's something that none of us should ever forget. So once again, here's to Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. And let's see, we have folks entering the chat. Christy's in the chat. Good to see you, Christy. I know who you are. I know who you are, but I'm glad that you're here. And if Richard's there with you, I want to say here's to both of you. Here's to both of you. And Sean has joined us in the chat. Sean, I don't know if you caught it or not, but I reviewed your book a few weeks ago. Sean is, Gordon and Sean are both attorneys, and Gordon, who's in the chat, who's watching, He is our resident attorney on podcasting legalities. And Sean, he is an attorney also, but he's an attorney in a different, slightly different, in debt, basically debt relief and debt management. And I reviewed his book. Sean, I reviewed your book a couple of weeks ago, Crushing Debt. And one of these days, I'm going to give away one of your books on a future wine stream as well. I'm jumping ahead of myself again. What am I doing? Must be the wine. Okay, we're not there yet. We still have some toasting to do. All right. Let's see. What else do we have for National Days? We have... we've covered National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. National Illinois Day. Okay, who in the chat tells... who in the chat says that we should not toast National Illinois Day? I know Illinois has their issues, but come on, they're one of the 50 states. They're part of the union. Let's toast National Illinois Day. National Cotton Candy Day. Okay, now I will drink to that because I love cotton candy. As you can see, I love cotton candy too much. I should not be eating cotton candy. Should never eat cotton candy. I never should. But come on. Who doesn't love cotton candy? It's National Cotton Candy Day. National Rhubarb Vodka Day. And that's the first Saturday in December, which this is the first Saturday in December. National Rhubarb Vodka Day. I don't think I've ever had rhubarb vodka. I've had vodka a lot. I've had a lot of vodka, and I've had vodka a lot. I don't know that I've ever had any rhubarb vodka, but I'll toast it. Whatever. What the heck? Okay, and one more day I want to recognize is National Skywarn Recognition Day. Now, Skywarn Recognition Day, if you're not familiar with what Skywarn is, the Skywarn system, Skywarn is, this is a network. This is a network of people, regular people like you and me, who are trained Skywarn spotters. And what they do is they alert, and this is that, you know, if you watch the news, if you watch a lot of the weather reports, or you'll watch the meteorologist on the news give those weather reports, and they've got a severe weather event going on, and they're talking about, well, they've reported, you know, quarter size hail over here, and they've reported an inch of rain over there, and in that city or that town, or they reported a 2 inches of snow over here. Well, what they're generally referring to, who's doing all the reporting? Who's reporting all this stuff? Okay, well, those are the National Skywarn spotters. Those are the National Weather Spotters from Skywarn. And what Skywarn is, it's a network of just pretty much, well, there are a lot of different people, but a lot of them are just regular people like you or me that are trained, that are specially trained to recognize different weather events and different anomalies in weather and different weather patterns and things like that, and to report them, to call them and report them, so they can give accurate reporting, somewhat accurate reporting on the weather. And there are about 290,000, almost 300,000 weather spotters across the United States. And myself, Tommy, my son Tommy, and my daughter Tia, and myself are three of them. We are actually trained Skywarn weather spotters. And although we haven't done a whole lot of it lately, I don't know that T's ever really done it, but Tommy and I, of course, Tommy and I are both, we're both hams. We're both a licensed amateur radio operators, FCC license. So, you know, from time to time, we'll get online and we'll report weather conditions. I've done it a few times. Tommy and I took the class. They give you a class, and you take the Skywarn training class to learn about weather and how to spot and identify weather situations and patterns things like that, events, and to accurately document them and accurately report them so that there's some consistency there and accuracy in the reporting. And you don't have to be, anybody can be a weather spotter. You don't have to be a ham. You don't have to be an amateur radio operator, although a lot of them are. Not all of them. So a lot of them are amateur operators, but you don't have to be one. You can be anything. My daughter Tia, she's taken the training. She is not a ham herself, but she can call up. You can call up on your phone. You can take your cell phone and call up and report in to a weather event or a situation. So that's basically what the national weather spot. That's what the weather spotters are. That's who the weather spotters are, I should say. Anyway, that's what Skywarn is. Skywarn is the network, the Skywarn network of weather spotters. So anyway, today is Skywarn Recognition Day to recognize all those who do volunteer. This is a completely volunteer effort, by the way. This is something people do on the side. It's a volunteer thing. You can get involved, actually, if you go contact the Skywarn Center. I right offhand, I don't have the link to it, but I can post the URL in the podcast later, in the notes for the podcast. And you can, if you're interested, you can join up. You can actually Google it up, Skywarn. And they give out classes, and you take the class, and you get a certificate, and then, you get the training, and then you can be a Skywarn weather spotter. And I personally think that the more Skywarn weather spotters are out there, the better. It just gives everyone, it gives meteorologists and the National Weather Service a more accurate representation of what's going on out there weather-wise. I mean, of course they do have the all of the radar and the Doppler radar and all that kind of stuff and the things like that. But it's really the weather spotters that they do rely on them a lot for a lot of the weather reports. So anyway, here's to the weather spotters. Here's to National Skywarn Recognition Day, and to Skywarn and all of the members of those who are Skywarn weather spotters. I'll toast it again because I think that's important. Anyway, that's a Skywarn Recognition Day. Let's see what's going on in the chat. Nothing's happened in the chat too much. No comments. I hope no one's fallen asleep on me. We're going to kind of keep this short show tonight anyway. I do wanted to talk about, especially speaking of Skywarn weather spotting. As a weather spotter, as part of the Skywarn system, we have a weather station in our house downstairs. We have a weather station and which we use regularly, by the way. Which I actually have to go down out there and replace the batteries on because I haven't been replaced in a while on the station outside. But we keep a lot of weather radios in the house. This is one of them. I keep this one here nearby me. This is an ER 310. This is a Midland ER 310 weather radio. It's an emergency radio. It's a pretty cool radio, actually. It's a flashlight, And this flashlight will also flash SOS in Morse code, SOS signal. This is a wind up power option so that if you don't have any power, you can wind up and generate some power with it to charge some things, to charge this up and to charge other extraneous devices. It has a very powerful lithium ion battery in it. And it actually has multiple power options for it. You can charge cell phones and other things with it. It also has solar cells on it, so you can charge things up with the solar cells. But it is a weather radio. It's a NOAA weather radio, so you can get all the local NOAA weather stations for emergency weather alerts. And this is a really handy thing to have in the car. It's a handy thing to have around the house. We have a number of weather radios around the house that my wife will attest to that clutter up the house. We have a lot of different weather radios. And I think that it's very important because I've always been a little bit of a weather junkie, so to speak. But I'm also, because I come from Florida. Florida, which some people call the hurricane capital of the world, and hurricanes, tornadoes, things like that. And I mean, they can happen anywhere pretty much, but tornadoes in particular. But I have ridden through a lot of different hurricanes in my years in Florida. And we've had a couple come up this way in North Carolina, as a matter of fact. But I think it's always good to be prepared. Keep an emergency preparedness kit handy in case you have to evacuate or hunker down somewhere in case of a weather emergency. And a lot of these things I learned from living in Florida for many, many years, for 35 years. And weather radios are just a part of what I keep in my emergency kit. But everybody should have emergency weather radio. Honestly, everybody should have one. Well, fortunately, of course, the company that I work for, and for full disclosure, I work for buytwowayradios.com. We sell two-way radios. And of course, if you have an SHTF event of any sort, an emergency event, sometimes the radios are about your only source of communication at that point. If everything goes down, cell phone towers and the internet and landlines and things like that. So radios are a good thing to have in your emergency kit, but especially a NOAA weather emergency radio. Anyway, my boss has authorized me. If you want to purchase a weather radio, he's authorized me for drinkwithrick.com to give you a 5% discount. And the discount is you use the promo code WINESHOW, that's WINESHOW. You use the promo code WINESHOW at checkout at buytwowayradios.com when you purchase any weather radio or actually any kind of radio or any radio accessory, you will get 5% off the regular price. And once again, for full disclosure, if the FTC is listening, for full disclosure, I do work for Buy Two Way Radios. Okay. They're my employer. But my boss said, because I do the Drink with Rick podcast, saying, why don't you go ahead and offer your viewers and listeners a 5% discount? We'll give you a 5% discount if you enter Wine Show when you make your purchase. So there you go. That's for you. And I appreciate that from my bosses. And use the promo code. It'll save you some money. But more important than not, whether you buy a weather radio from the company I work for or from anywhere else, just buy a weather radio. It's just good to have. It really is. I wanted to kind of segue into something here with the weather radios is that on December 14th, I just want to let you know, on December 14th, we're going to have a special edition. Oh, no, excuse me, not the 14th. What am I saying? The 21st. It's not the 14th. 14th is next week. On December 21st, we are going to have, this is for the 41st episode, providing we do one next week, because this is the 39th. But on the 41st episode of Drink with Rick, we are going to do a big giveaway. I'm going to give away some things for everyone watching and listening in the chat. And Sean, if you're there, Gordon, if you're there, Phil, all these people, if you're there, you have a chance to win. We are going to give away some things. I'm going to give away a couple of T-shirts. We're going to give away a – I've got one right here, as a matter of fact. It's right here. People have already won these. I think John isn't here in the chat this week, but he's won one already. But the other show that I do on my day job, the Two-Way Radio Show, we're giving away Two-Way Radio Show T-shirt. And a couple other T-shirts. I've got a couple. I've got a Do It With Frequency T-shirt here. And I can get one for your size if you have a different size. Do It With Frequency. I actually helped design this one myself. Do It With Frequency. Yeah, I know. And then there's another one that's – it's not the wavelength. It's how you use it. I've got this one as well. And we're giving away some of these T-shirts. And you know what? Folks at Blueberry, blueberry.com, my good friend Sean. My good friend Todd, Sean's my good friend too, and so is Todd. My good friend Todd Cochran, he gave me a couple of T-shirts to give away too a while back and at PodFest, and I haven't really yet, but I've got a couple of Blueberry shirts I can give away as well. Going to give away a lot of this stuff. I think... you know, I've got a few of these T-shirts to give away. We're just going to give them away on the show. And I'm also going to give away a copy of Start Ugly. Okay, this is where I jumped the gun last week, but Start Ugly. I reviewed this book a few weeks ago on the Wine Stream. And I really, really like this book. It's an easy read. It's not a really long book. It's kind of short, but it gets right to the point. And this is from my friend Chris Kremitzos. He's the author of this book. And Chris also happens to be co-founder of PodFest, the PodFest Multimedia Expo. That happens every year in Orlando. And Tommy and I, of course, are planning to be there this coming year, March 7th through 9th. I think it's going to be the 6th. I believe it's the 6th one. Is that correct? Sean, if you're there, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But that's going to be the 6th year for PodFest. Anyway, he gave me this book. I really liked it so much. I liked this book so much that I purchased a separate copy, a second copy of it. And it's actually sitting right behind me, right over here. That's the copy I'm going to give away. Okay? I'm going to give away a copy of this book. Everyone should have a copy of this book. It's good. It's a good book. I like it. And Sean's book... By the way, Sean's book's sitting up there, Crushing Debt. His book, I reviewed that a couple of weeks ago, and it's a good book as well. So I'm going to be doing a lot of different giveaways on the 21st. Okay, that's what I have scheduled. Nothing else, providing nothing happens and we're all here on the 21st, then we'll do those giveaways then. And I will also give away, an ER210, and this is the ER310 that I was talking about earlier, and that's why I got into the whole thing about weather radios. But I'm going to give away an ER210 radio to someone. So hang around, stick around for that. Join me for that episode on the 21st, and we're going to do a lot of giveaways. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. It really will. So, anyway, that covers that. There are a couple other things I want to talk about. We're going to end a little bit early tonight. I want to spend a little time with my son here, and don't want to get too late. But there are a couple of things I want to talk about. First of all, I've been checking. Last week I mentioned winereveal.com. Yeah, this is a wine show, so we're going to talk about some wine, okay? Anyway, so winereveal.com is the filmmaker created this series called Wine Revealed. And what he does on the series is he investigates the back end of the wine industry. I mean, he goes really, really deep into the wine industry. And if you like wine, as I do, you'll want to watch this series. Now, they're selling this series. I think it's going to be available on DVD, Blu-ray, DVD, I guess. But he is offering a free preview for a while, for a little while, to watch the entire series, all the episodes. I think they're up. I think they just released episode 8. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. I got to catch up. I got some catching up to do on this series. But I saw the first episode. The first episode just blew me away. It really did, because there is a lot of dirty little secrets in the wine industry. There are a lot of dirty secrets in the wine industry, and particularly with American wines. All wines, French wines, and that's what I know. I've talked about the French wine industry debacle before, but a lot of little dirty secrets in the American wine industry as well. And what you think you're drinking isn't necessarily what you're actually drinking. And I think this is an important series to watch. Now, once again, I watched the first episode, most of it. And I was a little, it was quite eye-opening. I was a little, now some of it I kind of expected because I'd heard some things about it before. I heard a few things here and there, some things that I mentioned last week that I was already aware of. Like, for instance, the alcohol level. You know, this says 13.5% alcohol by volume. It doesn't mean that it's 13.5% alcohol by volume. It could be 15, 16, 17, 18% alcohol. It could be anything. It could be a lot of more alcohol than you are drinking or you think you're drinking. Typically, wines, historically, wines were about 10 to 12% alcohol volume. Okay, by volume. The alcohol level, the alcohol content in the wine was typically 10 to 12%. Higher than beer, and a lot of beers, but lower definitely lower than grain alcohol, right? But the wine industry has done some devious things with alcohol levels. And one reason is to get people hooked on the alcohol. And that's why some people, when they think, oh, I can't drink red wines anymore because red wines they give me headaches in the morning. And I've had that happen to me, by the way. They give me headaches in the morning when I drink a lot of red wine. I can't drink red wine anymore. Well, it's not because of the red wine. It's because in the wine industry, they jacked up the alcohol level. I mean, they've seriously jacked up the alcohol levels in the wine, and they haven't told you about it. Now, the thing is that you think that with all of the dock stamps and with all of the regulation, the government regulation that goes on, that you would think that the government would require, you know, accuracy on the wine, on the alcohol levels on wine. That's not the case. And as a matter of fact, the wine industry has lobbied very heavily, and it's a very, very powerful industry. The wine industry has lobbied very heavily against putting warnings and labels on the wines and being more accurate about what's in the wines. In fact, matter of fact, if you look, let's go back to this for just a second. Look at the back of this label. See the back of this label? Now, there's another part of this label that I have not shown you, which is right here. There is this warning on the back that says basically government warning. According to the Surgeon General, you know, women should not drink alcoholic beverages during pregnancy, yada, yada, yada. And then, of course, this other thing that says contains sulfites. And if you notice, if you go to the supermarket, pull any bottle of wine, there are going to be two things. There are going to be three things on every bottle of wine that you're going to see. And I'm not talking about the UPC barcode, okay? That's a product code. That's the barcode. That's the UPC, the Universal Product Code. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about three primary things on this bottle of wine. You're going to see the alcohol content. You're going to see the government warning. And you're going to see something that says contains sulfites. Well, as far as the government's concerned, that's the only thing that really needs to be on this bottle. That's why you don't see a whole lot on this bottle. If you look at this, and I showed you both the front and the back of this bottle. Okay, there's the front, and that's the back. Okay, and then the only thing that I didn't show you was the side, which was this. Okay, which was the Surgeon General's warning. Okay, let me tell you something about this. The wine industry has lobbied very, very heavily against putting all of the ingredients and the content. You know, notice how in all other foods, they have to list the ingredients of what's in the food. They have to list and the caloric content and everything else that's in the food, all this other stuff. The wine industry has been very, very successful in lobbying against that kind of labeling on wine. So the government has given a pass. The government has basically given a pass to the wine industry so that the wine industry does not have to post any of that stuff, any of that information on these wines. Now, you're only going to hear this here, okay? Well, you might hear it a few other places, but there are not too many places you're going to hear that from, but you're going to hear this here. I'm being honest. Okay. So this is kind of a bad thing for consumers. It's great for the wine industry. It's great for the wine industry, but it's bad for consumers because here's one of the dirty little secrets, and there are a lot of them. One of the dirty secrets about this is that, first of all, they don't have to post all that stuff. So you don't really know exactly what is in this wine. Now, you see this thing that says Cabernet Sauvignon? And, you see on the front of the bottle, Cabernet Sauvignon. Well, you might think, and we've talked about this so many times on the wine stream, Cabernet Sauvignon doesn't mean that's 100% Cabernet Sauvignon, okay? Let's say, okay, what is a cab? What is a Cabernet Sauvignon? Well, Cabernet Sauvignon is actually, it's not necessarily its own grape. It's a grape. It is a wine grape, but it's a cross, but it's a natural, it's naturally occurring, but it's a cross between two different grapes. It's a cross between a Cabernet Franc and a Sauvignon Blanc. The Sauvignon Blanc being from Bordeaux in France. So you're going to have, it's actually a grape that is a hybrid grape, if you will, for lack of a better word. It's a hybrid grape that is a cross between those two grapes. And what you're getting in a Cabernet Sauvignon is not necessarily a Cabernet Sauvignon grape. It can be 85%. It could be 95%. It may not be 100%. In most cases, at least with the American wines, in most cases, it is not pure Cabernet. You're going to have a blend. You're going to have a blend of maybe 90%, 95%, maybe 85%, maybe a little less. Now, there's supposed to be at least 85% cab in there to legally call it a cab, a Cabernet Sauvignon. Great. But there have been other blends that have perhaps been less than that. But you don't know that. You don't know because the wine lobby has been assured by the government that they don't have to put the combinations in here. This Cabernet Sauvignon could be a 100% cab, or it could be a cab blend with other grapes. It could be common blends are cabs and merlots, cabs and syrahs, cabs and petite syrahs, cabs and merlots and syrahs, or cabs and merlots petite syrahs. It could be a lot of different things. It could have a Bordeaux in it. Could be anything. Could be a lot of water. Could be grape juice, for all I know. I don't know. The thing is that you don't know. You don't really know what's in some of these wines because the wine industry is not legally required to tell you what's exactly in that bottle of wine. And that's one of the dirty little secrets. So when you're drinking this Cabernet, or when you're drinking any bottle of wine, what are you really drinking? Good question. The next thing comes from the alcohol content. There is a lot of latitude in the industry as to what they can put for alcohol content. Now, alcohol content, this says alcohol content 13.5% by volume, but that's just an arbitrary number. It's an arbitrary number. Think about that for a second. That is an arbitrary number. That means that they can put, as long as it's at least 13.5% alcohol volume on it, they can put 13.5% alcohol by volume on it. That doesn't necessarily mean that it is actually 13.5% alcohol. It can be 14%. It could be 14.5. It can be 15. It can be 15.5. It can be 18%. You see where I'm going with this? You see where I'm going with this, folks? They don't have to be accurate. There is no law. There's no rule that says that they actually have to be accurate about the alcohol volume. So why is that important? Why is that important to wine drinkers? It's important for a couple of reasons. One, it's important because a real natural wine, shouldn't be that high in alcohol content. It should only be 11-12%, maybe for good health. When you start getting to 13.5, when you start getting to like 18% or higher, you're talking about a very high alcohol content, a very high sugar content that is not necessarily that good for you. So they talk about all of the beneficial effects of wine. And wine is good for you. As a general rule, wine is good for you, in moderation, of course. But when you're talking about jacking up the wine in various ways with other additives and sulfites, which I'll get to in a second, the alcohol content. If you start raising the alcohol content, that does two things. One, when you have a very high alcohol content, that's not necessarily good for your body. A very high alcohol content is not good for you. Now, the second thing is the sulfites. Natural sulfites will, which the natural yeast that they use in alcohol is going to be, is going to keep the alcohol in a lower volume. And I'm already kind of deep in the weeds here, but I don't want to get too deep in that tonight. But suffice it to say that they add, there are natural sulfites, and then there are there's natural yeast and there's lab-grown yeast. And lab-grown yeast is going to, with the sulfites that are added into the wine, they can add sulfites to the point where it actually sterilizes the wine, where it doesn't really, it isn't really beneficial anymore for you, but it's actually, it just raises the alcohol content, and it's actually actually negates some of the beneficial effects of wine. But and once again, I am getting into the weeds. There's a lot there, but look, watch this first episode of WineReveal.com. You sign up for it. You have to go in and sign up, give your email address and stuff, and you can get a free viewing of this for a limited time. Check it out. It's very, very eye-opening. I learned a lot about wine in that very first episode, but the other episodes, the subsequent episodes, are also very, very revealing. And definitely you want to check that out. I went way off base on this, but that's what this is about. Look, if you're watching for the first time, if you're watching or if you're listening later on the podcast, if you're listening to Drink with Rick for the first time, this is a stream of consciousness kind of show. I do have show notes. I do follow show notes. I do have an agenda for what we're going to talk about on the episode. But this is a stream of consciousness kind of show, and it'll take me in different directions. And that's what the show is about. This is not a very structured show. It's not intended to be a structured show. As a matter of fact, I've been podcasting for almost 14 years. This is the first time that I've done this, and normally I've done a very structured show, very scripted, or a show that's followed, that's adhered very strictly to show notes. This is the first time that I have actually strayed from that and have done a completely off the cuff. This is off the cuff, live. No holds barred, just me and you and me on the show doing this live. This is very, very different from anything I've ever done in my almost 14 years of podcasting. And if you're watching for the first time, you might be thinking, well, guys, what does he know about podcasting, or what does he know about streaming? Well, the fact is, this is by intent. I'm doing this by intent. I'm doing this for fun. This is my not my day job. I do podcasting as my day job. do video, do YouTubing for my day job. This is not my day job. This is my after, you know, the weekend relaxing, drinking wine thing. And I don't care. This is just something I'm doing for fun. You can watch if you want. You can not watch if you don't want. But the haters out there, don't even bother, because that's not what this show is about. This show is just about just stream of consciousness. That's it. So I did have someone comment to me and said the show is too long. Well, I'm going to try to keep it short tonight. It's already kind of too long. But I do want to mention, of course, this is my open topic segment, my rant segment, I should say. Every week I do a rant segment. This is it. I want to say, for those of you who have said that this guy is just what kind of a podcaster or streamer is he? He's just rambling on. That's what the show is about. It's kind of like the old Seinfeld show, you know, the show about nothing. This is a show about getting together, you and me, just sitting back, relaxing, having a drink, talking. It's not a structured show. So there you go. And if you don't like it, don't watch it. I don't care. I really don't care. But if you like it, enjoy it, give me a thumbs up. Give me a like. I'm good with that. I appreciate it. Anyway, we're going to close up the stream now. It's just about time to do that. And I've had enough of this wine to tell you once again, we've been drinking the Overbrook. This is a Cabernet Sauvignon. It's a 2018. A little bit, I think it's a little still on the young side. That's why I had two bottles of this. One bottle that I purchased for $9.99 from Wine Store. The other bottle was given to me by Matt and the good people at Wine Store. And I do appreciate it. I want to say thank you, Matt and Trish and Molly, and you know, for giving this bottle to me to review. I did review it. I will tell you my final review is that it's a decent bottle of wine. It is... it's okay. I don't know that I would drink this wine by itself. It's okay. I've been doing that mostly through this stream. It's time to cap the bottle now. I am halfway through the bottle. And I think I'll cap that for the night, because I don't want to overdo it. And I've told you before why I don't overdo it. I mentioned that briefly earlier tonight. I will try it with a dessert. I haven't tried it with a dessert before. I will try it with this one. This is a cookie. You know, you ever try those Pillsbury cookies? Oh, my goodness. These things are to die for. They are addictive. These little Pillsbury sugar cookies, you know, they come in a little package. You get them in the refrigerator or the freezer at your local supermarket. Tommy gets his from Target. I think I've purchased a few from Target. They come in a pack of 24 cookies, and they bake in like 10 minutes. And these things are awesome. I mean, they are so addictive. The first time I've had one of these was, and I didn't know they existed. They've been around for years and years, but I didn't know they existed until I went to a party put on by my friends. I went to a holiday party that my friends Michael and Trudy hosted, and they served these up. And this was about 10 years ago. They served these up, and I tried one, and I had I just finished chocolate Bock, the Samuel Adams chocolate Bock beer. I just finished one of those, which, by the way, I love the Samuel Adams chocolate Bock beer. They only put it out during the holidays. Amazing beer. I love that. But I had one of those cookies, and I was hooked. They were addictive. And I sit there and ate a whole bunch of them. And wow, it was These things are addictive. Anyway, so my son Tommy, he same thing. He was at the party and he tried a couple and he really loved them. So we've bought a bunch of these things and I've got one here tonight. These are the little Pillsbury, you know what I'm talking about? Little Pillsbury sugar cookies. Oh man, these things, I love them. Gotta have one. Try one with this wine. Love these cookies. Oh, whoa. Oh, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wow. This cab goes great with those Pillsbury sugar cookies. This won't give me a sugar rush. I don't know what will. Oh, my goodness. That's good. Good. I like that. Oh, it's good. I like that. Okay. So if nothing else, this Cabernet, this Overbrook Cabernet Sauvignon 2018, it goes good with those Pillsbury sugar cookies. I'll drink to that. yeah, I have a sweet tooth too. So there is one thing that I would like to, you know, I was going to cover 1941, you know, not the movie. And if you have a chance, In honor of Pearl Harbor Day, Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day, check out 1941. 1940, if you don't know what I'm talking about, this is a movie directed by Steven Spielberg that and written by Robert Zemeckis. You know, Robert Zemeckis from Who Framed Roger Rabbit and Back to the Future and a lot of the different classics. When 1941 first came out, I saw that movie. It was, this is such an underrated movie. It is so underrated. It's like a National Lampoon movie kind of thing. And it's got a lot of the stars from, it's got a lot of the Saturday Night alumni are in it, you know, John Belushi and Slim Pickens is in this movie, a bunch of big stars. And it's funny. It's really funny. But I would say go see Tora, Tora, Tora first. And then after you watch that, watch 1941. 1941 is a send-up. It's a comedic send-up of the events that happened just after the attack on Pearl Harbor and where Americans were just gearing up for war. And it's just such a hilarious film. It is so underrated. When the movie first came out, I don't think it did very well. As a matter of fact, I watched it. I don't know how many other people did, but when it first came out, but it was so underrated, and I loved that movie. And the theme song has become a classic. You know, John Williams, who did the themes for so many great movies like Star Wars. Of course, John Williams is probably most known for doing the theme to Star Wars and The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi and all that. But he also did the theme for 1941, and I love that theme. I had played it several times today ad nauseum for Tommy, who was probably listening in another room while he was trying to do his schoolwork. But it's a great theme. But if you've never seen this movie, go see it. It is a classic, 1941. It's a really good movie. I enjoyed it. We probably have to go see it. We have to watch it again, I think, shortly. But anyway, so I don't know. Like I said, it's a stream consciousness show. I just got off on a different rant. Anyway, so we're going to go ahead and close this out now. I want to say thank you all for joining me for the Saturday Night Wine Stream tonight for Drink with Rick. And once again, we were drinking the Overbrook Cabernet Sauvignon 2018. As far as I know, it's only available at Wine Store, winestore-online.com. It's okay. As a cab, it's a decent, it's definitely a cab. It's a little different for a cab, but it's definitely a cab. It's decent. It's a decent cab. It's not, I can't say it's not my favorite cab, but it's not the worst cab I've had. It's actually decent. It's kind of somewhere kind of in the middle. It's okay. It's okay. I don't know that I would drink this by itself. I would definitely want to have it with food. You can probably have it. I think it goes okay with the spaghetti with meat sauce. You have to have it with meat sauce and meatballs. If you have it with just a tomato sauce by itself, I don't think it's going to go over as well. But if you have it with a meat sauce, something with meat in it, meatballs, I think it'll be all right. I think it was okay with the Parmesan chicken. It was a little off with the turkey pepperoni, but I think it was good. I think it's going to be okay, fine with grilled meats. I think you'll be okay with it with a good decent steak. A New York strip, I think, would probably be okay with this. I would say I don't know if I'd go porterhouse, expensive steak. You might want to go with a little pricier wine for that. But for $9.99, it's not bad for, say, like a New York strip or, say, like a good sirloin, a good decent sirloin steak, it'd be fine with. And maybe, and burgers, be okay with burgers. Anyway, it's time to close up the stream tonight. I want to say thank you for joining me tonight on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. We never did get a recovery from YouTube, did we? Nope, YouTube, we are not on. But Facebook's been pretty solid tonight, which surprised me because usually Facebook is kind of a little iffy. Anyway, I want to say thank you to everyone who joined me tonight. I want to thank Rob and Phil and Tommy, my son Tommy, and Gordon and Christy. Thank you for being here. And Richard, if you're with her there, thank you as well. Sean, thank you for joining me. I want to thank everyone for joining me on the wine stream. And Betsy, of course, I see Betsy was in there somewhere. But Betsy, I saw you earlier. Thanks for joining me on the wine stream. I want to remind everyone, don't drink and drive. And once again, in remembrance of my nephew, my nephew Lester, don't drink and drive, please. Do not text and drive. That is a pet peeve of mine. I saw some people looking at their cell phones earlier this week while I was on the way to work, and they were driving so slow and they were driving erratically. And it, people that tell you that you, and if you believe this, you've got to put that out of your mind right now. People that tell you they can multitask while they're driving down the road, no, people cannot multitask while you're driving the road. If you're doing 60, 70 miles an hour down a highway, you cannot multitask, okay? You need to have your full attention on the road, 100% of your attention on the road. End of story. So please do not text and drive. Do not drink and drive. Drink from the comfort of your home, your apartment, your hotel room, wherever you are, and stay there. Or get an Uber. If you have to go home after that, go call an Uber. Call, what's the other one? Lyft. I've never taken any of those, so I don't know. But either way, do not drink and drive, please. And do not text and drive. Because I want to see everybody come back here next week, safe and sound. Join me here next week for the Saturday Night Wine Stream. And we can all get together, safe and sound, and drink with Rick. Good night.